Well, if you did not intend to attend keeping track of project details, then one of us is in the wrong place, but you are welcome to stay. Okay, how many of you have a life's verse? Everybody have a life, pretty much a lot of people have a life's verse or a crisis verse or a comfort verse. I have those two. Does anybody have a work verse? Anybody have a work verse? Good. I do, and it's in your notes. It's Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This verse is very clear on how we should approach our ministry work. And if you don't have a works verse, I encourage you to pray and ask the Lord to give you one, because I know that He will. He's that kind of a God. In regards to being organized, I've heard many folks say, I'm just not an organized person, or I just never been able to do that. But God says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. And since He tells us to do things in that manner, then I submit to you that being organized is really a choice, and we can all choose to be organized. The fact that you're here for this session today is an indicator that either you're making that choice, or perhaps somebody encouraged you because they want that for you in your life. So whether a project is big or small, annual or a one-time project, or if you work with other people on that project, or if you are the sole person that's working on it, all projects need to be managed. How to do that and the tools that you use will determine if it's managed well. Benjamin Franklin said, by failing to prepare, we prepare to fail. The first step in keeping track of project details is the area of time management. In the realm of time management, there are three aspects that I find invaluable. First, you should consider using a timeline. And I've put a timeline here for the folks on this side of the room and a timeline there. It's just basically a sketched outline of one. There's no real wrong way to do a timeline. It's your timeline, so build it the way that's going to work best for you. For me, I have the dates all on one side, and then I set the rest of my timeline up like a... I'm not used to being tethered. Sorry about that. But I do my timeline. Will that reach right there? I have my big rocks, my middle rocks, and my small rocks, and then I put them all with a date next to them. I set it up very much like an outline is set up. Timelines are a wonderful tool to assist you with numbering your days, which God encourages us to do, number our days. And it gives you checkpoints along the way. I have several projects that I own, my biggest one being, here's a surprise, leadership conference. And I could not imagine doing any of my projects without using a timeline. So just very quickly, I taught a session one time on timelines. I think there's so much to be gleaned from them, but just for time's sake, I'll just go through the main things. Have you ever seen the object lesson? A lot of times they use it in Sunday school where the teacher will have a jar, and then they have big rocks and medium-sized rocks and sand and things, and they try to get them all in the jar and they won't fit because it has to be organized, put in there the right way. Same concept with a timeline. Think in detail. If this is happening, then that's going to cause this to happen. The domino effect, and just thinking through your project and what you need to do. Start at the end with what your end result or your last final date is, and actually work your way up and so on, and start with your big rocks, the things you know for sure, that end date being that for sure thing. As our pastor says about writing sermons, Sunday's always coming. So if you were building a timeline for getting your sermon ready, you've got Sunday. Sunday's always coming, right? And so start with what you know that. And then as you're thinking through it, well, if I've got to have this by this date, then comes your medium rocks. I'm going to need this and this to make this happen. Then as you're working on your project and things are developing, you'll get smaller ones, a little bit more detail. You can really fine-tune that. The first time that you're building your timeline, keep it constantly available to you. You might print it out and keep it on your desk so you can write and take notes. That's because the first time that you're building it, you're just getting all kinds of information all the time. And things are going to change. Each time you use it after that, you won't need to make so many changes unless your event changes. For example, leadership conference. We used to have leadership conference in July. When we changed the date to June, guess what that did to everybody's timelines? Ooh, that big bottom date changed. And so that had a domino effect to change everything there. You may not have anything that big. There may just be something in the middle that changes, but if it's going to change your timeline, it's important to keep that updated. The second aspect, are reminders. No one can remember everything. And with all the web-based tools that we have at our fingertips, there really is no reason to put that kind of pressure on yourself to try and remember everything. And the older that I get, the less I remember. But when you're in a constant state of reactiveness, when you forget something, now all of a sudden it becomes an emergency. So when you're in that constant state of reactiveness, you can't focus on the most important parts of things. So why not use the technology available and create reminders for yourself? Whether it's your smartphone or Microsoft Outlook, reminders are vital to managing time. A lot of people know how to use or they have access to Outlook. How many of you here use Outlook? A good number of folks use Outlook. So this is when you're in the calendar portion of Outlook, and this is how to set up a time-activated reminder. So you'll just go here and you will select, wrong button, sorry about that. You'll select your date here and the time that you need the reminder. Sometimes that's vague. Sometimes you just need to know what day to do something. For me, when it's that case, I usually will put it at 8 or something like that, or when I'm coming into the office. And then the end time would be the same date. Since it's just a reminder, you don't need it to take up that much room on your calendar. So you select the date, then you select, sorry, I'm doing this sideways and I feel like, ugh. Select appointment, put the subject in the subject line, the location, and then you're going to select recurrence right there. You'll select recurrence, and then when you select recurrence, it's going to give you an option for, it's going to give you an option for duration. Usually I'll put 0 because I don't want it taking up time on my calendar. This is great, the recurrence pattern. You can have reminders that come up every single day. You can have reminders that come up every week. If it's going to come up weekly, you can select what day you need it to come up, or once a month, or sometimes you might even have reminders that come up every year. But you can actually go through your timeline and all of those dates that you have here, plug them into your Outlook so that those reminders come up. And then you can have no end date after so many occurrences, whatever, click OK, click save and close, and all those things that you need to do. It's that simple. And then your Outlook is working for you. You don't have to remember from year to year, week to week, month to month. It's doing it for you. And you get those beautiful little reminders. I have countless time-activated reminders because I can't remember everything and I don't want to try anymore. I don't want to try. Another thing that's helpful about those calendar reminders is you can actually use an email to set up a time-activated reminder. You can, if when you get an email from somebody that they need something from you on a certain time, what I do is I actually take that email and drag it into Calendar, set up the time information on when I need reminded for it, and then when that reminder pops up, I have straight from the source everything that they're needing from me, what they're needing me to do, and the details of what that reminder was for. So I really enjoy that feature as well. You can also set up alarms on your smartphone. If you're using a Mac product or something like that, you can find ways to have time-activated reminders. So just to encourage you then to use the time-activated reminders. Next is working smart. Notice I didn't say work smarter, not harder. Probably heard that expression, but I believe in being a hard worker. I believe that it's very important to be a hard worker, just like that verse says, not slothful in business. Have you ever had a task before you and you look at that and you think, oh boy, there is no way I can do all of that? Perhaps you've even heard the expression, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Well, work smart. By smart there, it's specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, timely goals. Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, timely goals and objectives. Time management then sets the stage for the next step, which is organization. Recently, I took a poll of some of the most organized, brilliant folks that I know, my coworkers. I picked their brains. My question to them was simple. What tools do you use to organize your day as well as projects that you are responsible for? And I was really surprised at some of their answers. And I obtained some tools that I had never used before, but I definitely plan to familiarize myself with to see if they'll work for me. You can do the same. You have a great resource. If you have coworkers, you have a great resource. And you can pull them. You'd be surprised sometimes what people will share that they do, and I never thought of that. That's great. So I broke down the responses down to two categories, online organizational tools and offline organizational tools. Before I go any further with information on both of these, let me caveat by saying that the best tool is subjective, because the truly best tool is the one that works for you. That's your best tool. I read a lot of books and material on organization, and it would be impossible for me to implement everything from every book, every organizer that I read from, but I am able to take something away from just about everything that I read. I know how my brain works, so I'm able to discern what I really would use realistically and what I wouldn't. I'm a color coder. Any color coders in here? I am a color coder. If I could have had color-coded children, I would have done that. I think that's a great idea. But I love color coding. I love to build spreadsheets that are color-coded. Maybe that's why I enjoy quilting so much. There's all those colors in there. Anyway, it causes things to jump out at me, and I can look at a glance and see it, get the exact information that I'm needing. But some people aren't color coders, and color coding is overwhelming to them. I brought a spreadsheet to a meeting one time. I thought, this is beautiful, all these colors here. And the person that was on the receiving end of that said, can you email that to me without all the colors? Sure. I can do that. You don't want your colors, really? I can't believe you don't want all those colors on there. Anyway, so you may not be a color coder, and let me say here that if you work for somebody, if that spreadsheet's not going to be yours or that project is not going to be yours and they're not a color coder, please don't set that up for them that way. That is going to overwhelm them, and it's not going to be a blessing for them. Do what you need to do for your things, but try to be careful about imposing your preferences on your team leader if they're really, if that's really not how they work, it's not going to work for them. So the right tool for you is the one that you should use. This is just an example that I thought of, but there, have you ever had to hang a picture? And how many ladies in here really use a hammer and nail? Really? Do you really use the hammer and the nail? I grab a nail, and it doesn't matter which one. It could be a railroad tie. I don't care if it's going to hang the picture on there. And usually it's my shoe, or I've even used the handle of a screwdriver before trying to. But my husband is not that way. My husband will go to the garage. He'll get the exact weighted nail that he needs. He gets the stud finder. He gets the hammer. He's doing all this to hang the picture. And if he doesn't have the right tool, he will actually get in the car and drive to Lowe's to get the exact tool that he needs. Both methods work. Both get the job done, but it's whatever your preference is. So anyway, probably the most popular tools are the online tools. And there's a plethora of web-based organizational helps. These are some that I use, and these are some that my coworkers replied in their poll for. The first one is Google Docs. This is my personal favorite, and it's one that I use the most, is Google Docs. It's accessible so that other people can collaborate in a document with you. And some people would call this a live document. It's actually saving things as you are putting that information in. Hooray! You don't have to remember to click that save button. It saves right there. And you can literally see data in this document that other people are putting in. I can be in the North building and working on a project with somebody that's in the admin building or out at the SLC here, and we can both be on that document. We can both see it happening at the same time. My team leader can be in another state, another country. We can be working on that document at the same time, and we're seeing things live as it's happening. So it uses Microsoft and Excel, and so a lot of people are familiar with those documents and you know how to use them. There's really not a whole lot of extra information to learn on those. It works just the same. The only difference being that you can set up, it's probably not the only difference, but one of the differences, you can set in tools, you can set it up to be notified when anyone who's collaborating on that document with you, when they change anything or add anything to that document, you can get an email and it'll show you that somebody made a change and it'll show you what the change was. And it's highlighted when you click on that, so you don't have to search through the whole project to try and find what they changed or what was different or anything like that. Another one is Evernote. Evernote is known for being simple to use, and it's one that quite a number of folks here use. You can add notes, you can create notebooks, you can organize projects, you can scan items into it and then highlight those items. And the more you add to Evernote, the easier and more profitable it is to use. Another one is Wunderlist. Wunderlist is a live document, very much like Google Docs, in that it collaborates and you see changes instantly. I have not used Wunderlist, but I went and this was one that one of my coworkers, there were quite a number of them that use Wunderlist, and I was like, if there's this many people using this, this must be great. And so I've done some research, and I'm learning it. So don't be afraid to learn things. I know that the online things can be very intimidating, especially for my generation. Some of the younger ones will get on there, and they are not afraid to click buttons. They will just get on there and click, 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 and undo and all these things, and I'm like, no, wait. What if something happens there? SugarSync is another one. This is a cloud storage for files that can be accessed anywhere. It can be private, it can be public, it can be shared. Then there is iCal. iCal is a calendar application. A lot of the team leaders and their secretaries work in iCal together because they can make changes and see those things come up, and they're looking at it together. Whereas when you're in your Microsoft Outlook, you're the only person that sees that. So iCal is something that can be shared. Then another one was InDesign. The name speaks for itself. For things that you design, like bulletins, flyers, those kinds of things. This is not a live document. This is very much like Word and things like that. You're the only person that sees it until you save it and share it with someone. Web-based task programs will typically have an app. You've heard there's an app for that. There usually is an app for that. That's accessible from smartphones, tablets, iPads, and things like that. So if you have a smartphone, or if your supervisor has a smartphone, that's great. They can pull that up, and it's right there at their fingertips. Next is offline. It's 2015. What could I possibly be thinking? Anything offline? Some folks, I'll include myself, still use good old-fashioned paper. Folks responded and said that they still use paper. It's okay to use paper. Visual people tend to use paper. One of my jobs at the college is to oversee the work-study program, and a portion of that in particular is to work with the work-study aides. Those gals and guys, we're getting more guys now as aides too, work in the offices, usually assisting faculty and staff. And at the beginning of every fall semester, I put a steno pad on the desk of every aide. Steno pad, good old-fashioned steno pad. Now that goes back, right? Anybody here use shorthand? I still use shorthand. Any shorthand folks? No? It's writing in tongues if you don't know what shorthand is. Anyway, I always encourage them to write things down and take their notepad in every time they go before their team leader, because they can't remember everything. You can't walk around with your laptop everywhere, right? And it also encourages their supervisor to see them writing things down. He knows or she knows that you are going to get done what they're giving you if they see you writing it down. And what a blessing. It's just an opportunity to be a blessing to your supervisor. It'll get done. When I go to planning meetings, I often take my laptop so I can access those Google Docs and things like that that I may need to have access to, but I also take my steno pad so that I can write notes and get things written down that way. Also, this isn't a part of your notes, but it is another means of staying organized. I write things down. You never know where you're going to get information. It can be in a staff meeting that somebody will say in passing, and you'll hear something and be like, oh, wait a minute. That affects my project. Or it can be an announcement that's made in church from the pulpit. You should see my Sunday bulletins. Oh my goodness. They have notes all over them, and not just from pastor's sermon. It's from talking to people and things like that. So always be prepared and listening for things that could potentially affect your project or something that you're working on. Time management, good organizational skills are vital, but these are meaningless unless there is an element of ownership. A project with no owner is bound to be a mess. Let me challenge you to go into your projects with full ownership, meaning accept that no matter who is taking pieces of your project, that in the end, that is your project. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. This will eliminate the opportunity for an unchristlike attitude towards any of your collaborators for failures on their part. In other words, if I own this project, then a failure on their part was really a failure on my part. Did I communicate clearly? Did I check with them along the way? Did they have questions that I didn't avail myself to answer for them, or perhaps I missed an email and didn't respond? What could I have done better or differently that would have made them succeed? One way to ensure ownership is to regulate. Have a meeting with folks that will be involved. Give a description of everything that needs to be accomplished. Share the big picture. Share goals. Get input from the group. Everyone brings something to the table. Everyone. They bring knowledge. They bring experience. They even bring a lack of experience. Lack of experience. They're the ones that will think outside the box. They're not the ones that are boxed into, this is the way we've always done it. We're not going to change. We want to change, but we're not going to change. So they are the ones that think outside the box. And they are there because your pastor hired them. And he knows what they can do. And the Lord laid them on his heart. And he's there. They're there because your pastor hired them. So project manager, owner, find out what skills they have. Someone that isn't very savvy on the computer obviously shouldn't be tasked with a portion of the project that requires heavy computer skills. Some people are reluctant, though, to speak up on what their shortfalls are and will just take any portion of an assignment that they are given. While their willingness to jump in is a great testimony to their servant's heart, it's not going to be a blessing for anyone when their portion of the project fails. So regulate and communicate. Give clear instructions. Oftentimes we don't really give clear instructions and the result isn't what we needed or what we hoped for. In our minds, we know what needs to be accomplished and we've failed to clearly communicate that to others, sharing the responsibilities with us. We end up saying what? I'll just do it myself, right? We become martyrs. I'll just do it myself. In doing that, though, we really haven't solved the problem of lack of communication or miscommunication. And we've only put more on our own plate. I know this because I have done this. Don't do this to yourself. Know what you want, define the task, ask questions, and thirdly, ingratiate. It is a blessing to get assistance with anything that we have to do. And don't forget to thank people. Don't forget to thank those that had a hand in accomplishing your project. God tells us in His Word, in everything give thanks, right? Time that someone is spending working on a project with you or working on your particular project is time that they are sacrificing from doing their own task and getting their other work done. I'm sure that that's not the only thing they do, and they've taken from that. So be sure to let them know that you appreciate them. One thing that's always important to remember, and I try to always make sure that I do this, but I'm sure that I fail many times, is to pepper your emails when you're emailing with people. Pepper your emails with please and thank you. And because you can't hear tones in emails, that's, you know, in that part of communication, we can't hear tones. And Satan can get a foothold on that when you were just in a hurry and you had no firmness about you or anything like that. And in an email, it can come across that way. And, you know, it's ouch. And if you do that, just go back and say, I'm really sorry. Who remembers when we first started doing emails and things like that, all caps is yelling, right? Mm-hmm. All caps. If you do something in all caps, go back in little caps very humbly and say, I'm very sorry I wasn't yelling. So keeping track of project details may seem daunting at first with managing time, staying organized, owning your project. Because of this, you want to make sure that you apply the fourth aspect, which is to limit. The first thing that you want to limit are crazy makers. Now, my husband is of Scottish descent, and my son is a bagpiper, and so we've been to many Scottish things with bagpipers and things like that. So I want to introduce you to the Crazy Maker clan. Scottish clan they are. Nothing against Scottish people. I love Scottish people if there's any Scottish people out there. But These are folks that may be assisting you, but like family, whose intentions are the best, can end up frustrating the work at hand. Every project is likely to have at least one member of this crazy maker clan. You may even recognize yourself in one of these, as I did. So the first member of my crazy maker clan is the overthinker. See those bagpipes? I had to do a nod there to the bagpipes. Okay, so the overthinker, you will recognize your overthinker because he's going to say things along the lines of, well, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And they may not say it to you, but in their head, they're going, what about this? And what about this? So sometimes to the point of taking things off track. So much like a train runs on a predetermined track, you need to be the switchman for your overthinker in your clan there and help keep them on course. Next is the procrastinator. You will recognize your procrastinator by his standard reply of, I was gonna do that, but limit this clan family member to items that are not so time sensitive and or give them a timeline and then encourage them to embellish on that timeline. And if they have checkpoints, that'll help. Next is the meter. The meter is the person that constantly needs to have face-to-face time. Perhaps he or she will be recognizable when they show up in your doorway and say, got a minute? You need to be accessible, of course, for your project to be successful, but you don't want to be the reason that your very own project goes into work stoppage simply because this person has a question or a need or something and needs clarification. However, it doesn't always require a time-consuming meeting. Your response can be simple. You can say, sure, I have a few minutes. That's you're letting them know right up front that you're making time for them, even though it's a short amount of time, and that's probably really all that they're going to need. Or you can ask, is it something that you can email me about? If you really, truly don't have those few minutes, which most people do, but if you truly don't have those few minutes, then you can ask them to email you. Sometimes I do that anyway, just because if they email me, I've got a reference to what their question was. That helps me in my notes to go back and make sure that next time I make that clear, better communicate with that. And my response is something that they can save, so if the issue comes up again, they can reference that email and they have those instructions again. Next is the clinger. Okay. The clinger is the person who has either owned the entire project or a portion of the project in the past and struggles with letting go. Sometimes recognizable because they will say things like, I know this isn't mine anymore, but... So clingers, though, are important because they bring the history. They bring the history and the true successes and the failures to the table. So it's important to see the value in that. However, too many cooks in the kitchen spoil the soup, right? Encourage the clinger to put their knowledge in notes to share with the new owner. This serves two purposes. One, you have a history that anyone who's owning that can utilize, and two, it gives value to the what the clinger is bringing to the table. I used to be civil service. I worked for commanders in the Air Force, and in the Air Force, they used continuity binders. Has anybody heard of the continuity binders? Continuity binders are great tools. With all the transitions that military go through, I mean, usually people are there for just a couple of years and then they transition out. They rely heavily on continuity binders, and all that is written history of somebody's job and what they do, and it has all kinds of great information in there that whoever comes into that job can look at that and see everything that is required for that position. And a lot of times we don't always have the overlay of when somebody is leaving and somebody else is coming in where they have that one-on-one training. So a continuity binder ensures the continuation of the work minus, you know, the gaps. Next is the assumer. The assumer, they will respond to things like, "I'm sorry, I thought you knew that." Learn with the assumer to ask questions. That's how we take care of that. Your questions will provoke them to share information that they have. And then finally is the delegator. The delegator, this person, is their work is to give everybody else their work to do for them. You probably won't be able to get on-the-spot information from them because they'll say things like, "Let me check with so-and-so. I'll have to get back with you on that." Delegating is not always a bad thing, especially in the ministry, because it's a great way to include people, new people to your church, things like that. You can encourage them, bring them along the way, get them involved. A lot of times somebody that's new in a church, they sit there and they think, "I want to do something. What can I do?" But if they're newly saved, they don't even know what all the business of church and that is. So they don't even know how to offer services. So if you can get people plugged in, if you use them that way to get them working with that, and they can learn things about how things work as well. Crazy makers eat up a lot of valuable time and effort, but so does redundancy. See the sign there? The Department of Redundancy, Department Branch Office. Try never to task more than one person to do the same thing, especially if they don't know that somebody else is doing the same thing that they're doing. You end up with a situation where the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing, and it's a huge waste of time for everybody who's doing it, because now you've got two or three people working on the same thing, and there's things out here that aren't getting done because you've pulled your resources to do that one thing. All right, so we've taken measures to manage the time expended on a project. You've gotten organized. You own your project. You've limited distractors. And the final step is to scrub. Two ways to effectively scrub a project is, first, to obtain feedback. Getting feedback from those in the trenches is priceless. They're the ones that are going to be able to tell you from experience how things went. The Air Force does this. They have, whenever they do exercises, they have what they call a hot wash. And I helped get prepared for some of those. And a hot wash is just very soon after they've done an exercise or something, they'll all get together and they'll discuss what worked and what didn't work, what they need to change, what needs to stay the same. You meet with the same group that you initially met at the beginning, when I said meet with people and give them the vision and all that. Meet with those same people, and while everything's still fresh in their minds, they can give you that important feedback. And be receptive to the feedback that you get. What worked, what didn't work. The things that, if it worked, keep it in the process for the next time. Or how can we improve on it? What needs to be tweaked? Then what didn't work? If it didn't work, avoid doing things over and over again that don't work just because you've always done them. That's the definition of... So avoid what didn't work and eliminate it. Just get rid of it completely, or fix it and add it up there. Make it work if it's something that's vital, but it's just there's a portion of it that's vital, but the way that you're doing it isn't work, then fix it and get it so that it's in the worked category. Studying feedback then enables you to update. Take the information from your feedback, update your timelines. If you update your timelines, then you're going to need to update your time-activated reminders and your notes. So update your timelines, your reminders, and your notes. The sooner the better, while everything is fresh and in your memory. Whoops, Those are my sons. I don't know how to get it back now. But that was the last one. So as you've probably noticed, the main points were actually an acronym spelling out tools. So I have a handout for you that Angela is going to give everyone that will assist you as you manage projects that are on your plate. I actually have pink ones for girls and red ones if you want to. Girls can have red ones too. I just went pink with that. So Angela has those. And down at the bottom, you'll see that it spells out tools. It's time, organization, ownership, limits, and scrub. Does anybody have any questions? I have time for a question and answer time. No? No questions? Okay, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord, that we had this time together. I pray, Lord, that it was a blessing to the hearers. Pray, Lord, that you will use this information for the furtherment of your work, that they'll be a blessing to their team leaders and their church family. And I pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.